church for 25 years, so May will be 26. We've been married for 30 years. May will be 31 years. My wife, when I first met her, was into a thing called campus ministry. Now, I relate a little bit with Faith about that self-righteousness. I was a little self-righteous, and I went to a Christian college where they helped us become more self-righteous. And nobody in our Christian college who was a religion major would ever go to campus ministry. We didn't need campus ministry. We were religion majors. What could you possibly teach us? And so I went off to seminary, and I get to seminary. I met my wife in Sunday school, and she's a year ahead in seminary. I was like, what do you plan on doing? You know? And she goes, well, I'm going to be in campus ministry. And I was like, what a waste. Sad. That's nice. That's nice for you to do. And she started introducing me to the campus ministry she's doing, and I was like, wow, this is incredible, the stuff she was doing. And the college students she was working with, and the excitement, they grew so much. There at IUS, where they were at that time, they were on the campus that they outgrew the rooms that they would give them. And the university's like, we don't have bigger rooms to give to you. So Sheila goes in, and there was these pastors who would meet at this little dinky building, our association building. They'd meet for prayer. And Sheila had this tiny office. And her office had a motion detector light in it. And if she stood still, the light would go out in her office. And they wouldn't replace the light. So she had to prepare lessons like this. If everyone thought she was very charismatic. And so these guys go, Sheila, what can we pray for? And she goes, we need a building. And you expect at that point they sit there and go, they said, okay, we'll pray for a building. And they go, where do you need to be? And she goes, we need to be as close to the campus as we can possibly get. And they said, okay, we'll pray for that. And they built a building right next to the campus. You can't get any closer to the campus. The churches in our association all pitched in, helped build it. It's all paid for, and we were able to meet in there. And Sheila was there for about a year in this brand new building, and the Lord told her to step away. And that was heartbreaking. You know, if you ever done a ministry and God calls you to a ministry, you get all excited about the ministry, you watch the ministry grow, and you're thrilled with that ministry, and then God says, I'm shifting you to somewhere else. And you're like, but God, I'm good at what I'm doing. And God's like, I know that, but I need you over here. And so she stepped away, and the idea was that she stepped away to help me as I was going into this church, and the church was trying to decide whether they were going to keep the doors open, whether they were going to close them, if this was going to be the end. And she realized, I need to be here and helping you. And so she just poured into the church, and us ministering together, there's been absolutely incredible. But she kept saying, I want to go back in the campus ministry. And every time she tried to get in there, the doors got shut. Every time they'd have an opening for someone to come, she would say, she'd apply, and they didn't take her. And it was just heartbreaking for us. And we didn't know what to do. We're like, how do we handle this, and what do we do? And then we came out of COVID, and I'm sitting at a leadership meeting at the association, and they go, we're going to have to shut down the Christian Student Fellowship. We don't have any way to lead it. We don't even know if there's anybody still in it. And my son was going to be starting to go to school at IUS. And so we were walking around on the campus of IUS, and God had laid this on my heart. And I was kind of petty. You ever get that sort of situation with your spouse or your parents, and God lays something on your heart, and you're like, they're not going to go for this? I'm going to say it to them, and they're like, are you out of your mind? You guys know, like, you go to your parents, you say, hey, for spring break, I'm going to go up to Huntington, and we're going to do painting and making beds and doing stuff like that. And they're like, you're not allowed to be away from home where I can't see you. Matter of fact, some of them, it's hilarious. Parents are tracking them on Life 360 the whole way up here. We're getting texts to us, you know, why are you stopping there? So anyways, we're walking around, and God had impressed on my heart that we should take over the campus ministry. And I thought, there's no way she's going to go for this. But finally, I look at her and I said, hey, I got this crazy idea. And she goes, what? And she always knows that's bad news. Because, like, the last crazy idea, I wanted to build a labyrinth in our backyard. And so it would have worked. It would have worked. And I said, I think we should take over the campus ministry program. And I said, now hear me out. I said, we can afford to do it. and we could, you know, we could work together. And, and she looked at me and she said, that's what God told me to do. And I was like, wow. So we went to the pastors and we said, here's the leadership. We said, we would like to step in. All we're going to do is 1 year. And I made an agreement. I said, I would not recruit for our church. So I will not recruit for my church. I will recruit for all the other churches in the association. But I will not recruit for my church. And we just want to do, we'll do a year. Let us get it going. If we can get it going, then you guys can hire someone. And they said, and we didn't hear from them for 3 months. And get back. We're like, what on earth is God trying to tell us here? We thought for sure. And then finally we're like, you know what? We're just going to start being the campus ministers. And so we started doing stuff. And they finally said, oh, I guess we better let you be the campus ministers. Because we just started meeting with a few students that were there. My son, who I said was starting IUS, he instantly found out that he was participating. Did not know that. We got a couple other people that didn't know that. We just got them to show up. We knew who they were. And God has been so good. And after about 6 months, the association director pulled me aside and he said, how's campus ministry going? I go, oh, it's going well. It's going well. We broke one of the windows in the building already. So I feel like we're right on track. And I said, how's the search going? And he says, yeah, we haven't done anything. You guys just want it? And I was like, are you kidding? And so we've been here 4 years. It's incredible. We're loving it. These are incredible students. Just their testimonies. You got to hear them practicing this music. It's just incredible to see what God is doing and what's going on. And sometimes we miss that. And wow, to just be a part of, you know, when God invites you to be a part of something and you say, I'm not qualified, that's okay. This was the guy who hated campus ministry, right? And God goes, watch this. I got a plan to do that. I still think it's a little crazy, but I'm glad to be a part of it. And it's exciting. Hey, I want to take you to Luke 19. I'm not going to dwell too long here. Luke 19. We're getting into the Christmas season. Or the Christmas season. Easter, yeah. We're getting into Easter. And as we get into Easter, we celebrate Palm Sunday. And we celebrate, then go into Good Monday, Thursday, then Good Friday, and then Good Saturday. And when they did Easter egg hunts, I guess. And then Sunday, which is Easter. Well, before Jesus gets to Jerusalem, before he gets there for Palm Sunday, if you look there in Luke 19, it talks about him going into the city of Jericho. So it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. Now, Jericho was a really old city. It's been around, archaeologists said, 900 B.C. They think that 9,000 B.C. They think it's one of the oldest cities we've been able to recover in the study. It was, at that time, a place full of springs, and it was called the City of Palms. And it was about 15 miles away from Jerusalem. And if you're going to Jerusalem, you went through Jericho. It was the gateway to Jerusalem. And everyone's getting excited that Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. Something exciting is going to happen. Jesus is finally going to Jerusalem. And it says, verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. We're told two quick things about this guy, Zacchaeus. First of all, that he was a tax collector. You guys probably know tax collectors, unlike today, weren't that popular. Today we love them. Yay, tax time. April 15th. Yay. But they weren't. And he was a chief tax collector. So he was doing, and we're told that he was very wealthy. So as a chief tax collector, he had other tax collectors working under him. And questionable, we're going to find this out in a minute, questionable that some of his wealth may not have been accumulated in an honest manner. Now it says this, verse 3. And he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So we get two more things. Okay, so we start off, we got Zacchaeus, and he's a chief tax collector, and he's wealthy. We got that. Now we find out that he was a short guy. And that's what everybody always talks about, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You guys do that on Sunday in church as an offertory? Okay. But that's not the important part. The short thing is just going to help show what God's about to do with them. All right? But here's what I think is really cool. It says that he wanted to see, and the NIV translates the Greek this way. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He didn't just want to see Jesus. He didn't say, Jesus coming through and I think I'll see him. He wanted to see who Jesus was. There's something going on here that Zacchaeus is more than just seeing somebody popular show up. He wanted to know, who is this guy? Who is this? Well, I don't know if he'd heard about him. I don't know if story's been going around. I don't know what but he is more than just, he just didn't want to walk around. And now all of us have got stories about meeting somebody famous, right? Well, I met this guy famous. But did you know the famous person? No, I just got my picture taken with him. He wanted to know Jesus. And so it says there, so he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. This guy is the chief tax collector. He's wealthy, right? And what is he? He acts in the most undistinguished way. Could you imagine that you've got a festival going on for Christmas time, all right? At Christmas, and Santa's here. And you look, and Phil is running down the road, and then he climbs up on a street light, and you go, Phil, what are you doing? And Phil's like, I gotta see Santa. I gotta see. You'd be like, oh my gosh, we gotta have a meeting at the church about this. I think Phil has lost too many paint fumes off working on this wall. It's finally got to him. He's kind of lost it. You need to take a break. I mean, this is crazy. You don't do this. You don't behave like that. You don't behave like this if you are the chief tax collector and wealthy. This just, something is going on supernatural. And so it says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, in my church, I've taught people that when you get something really cool, you say, what? So let's give you our practice today. Everyone say, what? That's horrible. You say, what? What? Now, I'm going to read this again. And I'm going to see when you see it, you all respond, okay? Because I know you're very smart people, and Jimmy's done an awesome job teaching you, and Phil's working on it. All right, so here it says again. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus. That was like the worst delay ever, wasn't it? How did Jesus know his name? How did Jesus know his name? Jesus is passing through Jericho, heading to Jerusalem, and he sees him up in the tree, and he doesn't say, hey, you in the tree. He says, Zacchaeus. That blows me away. What did Zacchaeus want to do? He wanted to see who Jesus was. But guess what? Jesus already knew who Zacchaeus was. If you get anything from this sermon, I want you to get this. Jesus knows who you are. Yeah. And he still loves you. He knows your name. He knows. I mean, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel a little lonely. I can be surrounded by people. I can be surrounded by these students, and chaos is going on, and I can feel a little lonely because they don't know what's going on, and I'm feeling lonely. But you know what? Who always knows what's going on? It's Jesus. Jesus knows. So he says, Zacchaeus, and then he says this. Let's see if you catch it. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house. Thank you. My wife got it. All right. He doesn't say, Zacchaeus, can I stay at your house? He didn't say, Zacchaeus, would you mind if I came by? He says, I must. This is a divine command. This is a statement that says Jesus is not responding out of kindness. He's not looking and saying, oh, this poor little guy hanging in a tree, I better do something for him. This is I must do this. God the Father is commanding that I go to your house. And Zacchaeus came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. In verse 7. Powerful verse. And all the people saw this, and they began to praise God and celebrate that Zacchaeus had been called to dinner by Jesus. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. No one has any problem with that, right? Y'all are like, that NIV, that's a bad translation. What does it say there? Does it say all the people were excited? Did it say all the people were celebrating? Weren't they so excited because Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, the guy, the boy, he needs God. Boy, he's terrible. Were they excited that Jesus? What does it say that they did? They grumbled. Something supernatural, wonderful is happening here, and their response to it is, why not me? Why didn't Jesus say he was coming to my house? Doesn't Jesus know how often I go to the synagogue? Doesn't Jesus know how much I give? Doesn't Jesus know how much of the Torah I've memorized? Doesn't Jesus know how nice I dress? Doesn't Jesus know how nice I was to those people that I could have been mean to and I didn't cut those folks off with my chariot the other day? Doesn't Jesus know that stuff? Why isn't Jesus coming to my house? Don't I deserve Jesus to come to my house? And he's picking this guy. This is a guy he's going to eat with one person in Jericho. He's going to pick this guy to go eat at his house. And they are mad. Praise the Lord, we never act that way. Praise the Lord, we never get upset when God calls somebody else to do something we thought we should get to do. Praise the Lord that we never get upset that God blesses somebody with something new while we're left with something old. Praise the Lord, we don't ever act that way and look and see that God's changed somebody's life. Never, ever do we ever look at them and say, that won't last. That's not going to continue. That's temporary. Why? But we ain't talking about us, are we? We're talking about these people. They messed up, not us. So we go on to verse 8 and get by 7 real fast so we don't feel convicted. Verse 8 says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here. Y'all aren't too good at this. Let me do this again. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, thank you. One gold star for faith. Who did Zacchaeus go to see? Jesus. Who did he find? The Lord. He wanted to know who Jesus was, and he found out that Jesus is the Lord. Now, we don't know when this conversation, if it's his house or what, but something supernatural has occurred here that he went from wanting to see who Jesus was that now he's referring to Jesus as Lord. And he says, here now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back 4 times the amount. Something incredible has happened here. And it seems as Zacchaeus is even confessing and he's repenting publicly. And Luke's got this down, so people were hearing him say this. This isn't something like he quietly pulled Jesus aside and said, hey, Jesus, listen, I'll pay back people, okay? Let's not make a big deal. No, he's announcing this publicly to everybody. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times. And here, I got so much, I'm going to get half of it away. Something incredible has happened here. What is it? Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. Now, I want you to be very careful. Zacchaeus did not get saved because he gave away half his possessions. Zacchaeus did not get saved because he said, I will pay back anybody 4 times what I've stolen from them. That is not why he got saved. The reason why he gives away half his possessions, the reason why he gives back 4 times the amount, is because he got saved. See, salvation causes this change to occur in us. And Zacchaeus, he goes, I want to know who Jesus was. Jesus goes, I must come to your house. Why must he come to Zacchaeus' house? Because salvation has come to his house. And I don't know how to explain all that, Jimmy. I went to seminary. I don't know how to explain it, that you can have a person who knows nothing about Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit moves on them and they respond to the gospel. I don't know how it occurs, how the God does it, but he does it. And it's absolutely incredible when he does it, because he did it for you and he did it for me. And wow, I'd love to tell you that I found Jesus. Jesus found me. He just let me think I found him. And Zacchaeus finds Jesus, and he goes from Jesus to Lord, and Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. And the evidence of it is this man's changed life. And he goes, this man, too, is a son of Abraham. I find that interesting, son of Abraham. He was Jewish. He was already a son of Abraham, right? But when Jesus says son of Abraham, what he means is to be a son of Abraham means to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To repent of your sins and put your trust. That means every person of us who responds to the gospel, every one of us who puts our trust in Jesus Christ, we are children of Abraham. That's one you need to sing, Father Abraham. You guys got that one too? All right. All right. And verse 10, I'm going to finish up here real quick. I'm going to make a couple points and I'm done. I don't want to take too long and get kicked out. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Do you know why he didn't go to the rest of those people's homes? Because they didn't think they needed Jesus. They thought Jesus may have needed them. Look, Jesus, what we can do for you. He went to Zacchaeus' home because Zacchaeus needed Jesus. I think a lot of times in my life, I miss Jesus. I miss what Jesus is doing. I miss what's happening because I don't think I need it. I think that I've got it all together. I am a religion major, and I don't need to go to campus ministry. I look back and I think, what did I miss out those 4 years of college? What opportunities did I miss to get to grow in the Lord because of my self-righteousness? Now, God has been gracious and given me a second chance to get to go through it. And if you really want to know, Sheila's really the leader, and I'm just an older kid. And I'm getting to do it again. Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. We gotta need Jesus. Let me give you 3 points as I finish up here. The first is, you gotta accept Jesus Christ by responding to him. And that's seen by repentance and trust. There's a repentance of admitting your sins, and there is putting a trust in Jesus Christ. The word we often use for that is conversion. It means to turn, and it means that you've got your sins here, and you say, I'm turning away from these sins, and I'm putting my trust in Jesus Christ. That's salvation right there. And you know what you do the rest of your life? You keep saying, none of that, more of this. And you keep growing to be more Christ-like. But that salvation is, I repent of these sins, and I turn, and I put my trust in Jesus Christ. The second thing you do, if you've made that decision, then you need to share with other people how Jesus saved you. I love both of these testimonies that we got up here. And I love when our students share their testimony because everyone's story is different. And you might look at them and say, oh, they all got the same story. I faced brother. Who knew that story? I didn't know that story until I met your brother. And he, that's impacted. It shaped your life. What a powerful, I mean, you guys understand to lose a brother or sister and out of contact because of bad decisions they make? That's hurtful, putting your trust in Jesus. Powerful. Drew, growing up in the presence of the church, you should have it all together, brother. Right? Right? Your granddaddy built the church, you should have it all together, right? And he gets up here and says, I don't have it all together. I'm dependent on Jesus. We need to hear. You need to share your stories. I want to tell one last thing, and I'm all done, Jimmy. I promise I'm done. When I read this passage, I remembered another tax collector. It says that Jesus was going around, and he comes upon this guy, Matthew. And Matthew is a tax collector. And he says to Matthew, come follow me, become one of my disciples. And Matthew stops being a tax collector and becomes a disciple of Jesus. You all know that story? Right? Okay. Do you notice with Zacchaeus, he didn't tell him to quit being a tax collector? He didn't tell him, Zacchaeus, stop being a tax collector. What he said is, Zacchaeus, be a godly tax collector. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know what your job is. But here's what God wants you to know. Do it in a godly manner. Some of us, he will call out and say, I'm going to put you on this particular direct path to do this. As he called Matthew a disciple. But the majority of us, he's saying, whatever I've gifted you with, whatever you enjoy doing, whatever it is that you find yourself doing, whether you enjoy it or not, do it all for the glory of God. See, that's as far as we know, that's what Zacchaeus did. He kept being the chief tax collector. But he changed. He was a godly Christian tax collector. And when I think about in 2,000 years, all the things that people have done and all the wealth they accumulated and all the buildings they have built and all the nice clothes they have, and we can't name a single one of them. But you all know the name of Zacchaeus. Will you join me in a word of prayer?